Now we're going to read the parable of the unmerciful servant that can be found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, and we're going to read verses 21 to 35. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. The last time I was here, we looked at another parable, and I love looking at the parable. They actually stand in their own when you're doing occasional visits. Parables, maybe like the Psalms, as I say, stand on their own, and each one can be taken separately. So, but they're wonderful everyday stories that Jesus told, but all these parables, these stories carry a spiritual meaning for our lives. So verse 21 of chapter 18 of Matthew, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay you back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed. And they went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. And then Jesus says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Amen. And may God bless this reading from his word. And of course, now I better make sure I turn this gadget on. Clever technology. Ah, it's buzzing. Hello? So we're thinking this morning of the parable of the unmerciful servant. One of the great benefits of using a computer for writing essays, letters, sermons or whatever is that when you want to delete something that you've written, you simply press a delete button on the keyboard and hey presto, and it disappears. And you carry on your work with no mess of scored out sentences forever spoiling the appearance of your finished work. True, you've got to be careful how you use the delete. You do get a second chance. Are you sure you wanted to delete? But if you go and press, yes, I'm really sure I want to delete, and then you think afterwards, I wish I hadn't deleted that, then you're in a bit of a mess. But it's an amazing thing, isn't it? And how it helps you in presenting work that you're doing. In a way, true forgiveness is a bit like pressing the delete key on your computer's word processor. For when true forgiveness is given and received, it wonderfully removes the estrangement, the separation that our sins cause, both in our relationship with God, but also in our relationships with one another. Well, this morning we're going to be considering, as we've said, the parable of the unmerciful servant that we read in Matthew's Gospel. And the great theme of the parable is forgiveness. And Jesus tells the parable in response to a question that Peter asks him. And this brings us to the first point I want us to notice. And from the passage, and it's this. Jesus teaches that forgiveness, the forgiveness we hold out to one another, must be without limits. For the question that Peter asks of Jesus that led to Jesus telling this parable, the question that Jesus asks of Peter is this, verse 21 of chapter 18 of Matthew. Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times. Peter's question presumes that there must be a limit to how often you forgive someone who's wronged you. Surely you can't be expected to go on and on forgiving someone who, when they repeatedly do you some wrong. Actually, when Peter asked Jesus, how many times shall I forgive, up to seven times, he was probably thinking that he was rather extra forgiving. Because the Jewish rabbis in those days said that no one should be expected to forgive someone more than three times. And here Peter's raising the limit, saying to Jesus, shall I forgive the one who sins against me up to seven times? Maybe he thought Jesus would give him a pat on the back for that and would have been pleased with his upping the limit suggested by the Jewish rabbis. But if so, Peter was in for a shock because Jesus answered Peter, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven, which in those days was another way of saying times without number. In other words, there must be no limit set as to the number of times you're to forgive someone. What a challenge that is, isn't it? That's what a challenge that is to the way so many people think. Maybe even some of us here this morning, where the tendency can so easily be to set a limit to how far we're willing to forgive people who have wronged us in some way. Think of how easy it is to slip into the way of giving people an ultimatum of some kind. Maybe you've heard people saying this kind of thing. I'll forgive you this time, but do anything like that again, and I'm finished with you. Or worse still, and I've heard this over the years a number of times, I'll never forgive her for what she said to me. I'll never forgive him for doing that to me. Now I know, friends, if someone has deeply offended you or hurt you in some way and shows no sign of repentance, of being truly sorry for the wrong that they've done you, then it can be very difficult to continue to have friendly relations with that person. But what we've got to make sure of is that regardless of whether or not there's a repentant attitude on the part of the other person, we ourselves must earnestly seek to maintain a forgiving spirit in our lives and never allow a root of bitterness or resentment to take hold in our hearts. We should be known as Christian people of faith in Jesus. We should be known for being people who are quick and ready to forgive and to forgive and to forgive. True, if those who have deeply hurt us in some way show no sign of repentance, then our forgiving attitude will not by itself bring reconciliation. But what we have to watch is our own hearts, to guard our hearts against nurturing resentments and harboring an unforgiving spirit that just poisons us and poisons our inner being. So that's the first great lesson we see from this parable of the unmerciful servant Jesus teaches. And secondly, a second lesson is surely, as Jesus teaches this parable, there's behind the scenes, there's this reference to the forgiveness that we receive from God. This is the great truth that lies at the heart of the parable that Jesus told about the unmerciful servant. For this servant had received the most incredible mercy from the king, to whom he had owed an absolutely massive debt. He had owed the king a sum of 10,000 talents, What would be equivalent to millions of pounds in today's money? And when the king came to the time of settling accounts, and by the way, there's an interesting allusion there, don't you think? The time of settling accounts. An allusion that one day there's going to be an accounting. One day we have to appear before the Lord to account for how we've lived our lives, what we've done with our lives. True, if we've got faith in Jesus, we know in that day the forgiveness that we have been granted, and we will, with the salvation we have promised, we will be ushered into God's eternity. But at the same time, there is this accounting. And I think there's the reference there. So the king, when the king in the story came to the time of settling accounts, this servant, and he must have been a high-ranking administrator sort of servant to have accumulated such a massive debt. This servant is brought before the king and he's called to pay back the massive debt that he owes, but he can't pay. And he faces the prospect, as happened in those days, of he and his wife and family being sold into slavery to repay the debt. And so he falls down on his knees before the king and he begs. He begs for mercy. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." But you know, there wasn't the slightest chance that he would be able to pay back this enormous debt of millions of pounds. And the king knew this. And yet the king took pity on his servant and he cancelled this enormous debt and let him go. The magnitude of the king's mercy in cancelling such a massive and unpayable debt is simply overwhelming, isn't it? We can imagine how the servant would have struggled to grasp his good fortune. Am I dreaming? Is this really happening? How can this unbelievably massive debt that I owe be suddenly and completely cancelled? But once he began to realize that, no, he wasn't dreaming, that this enormous burden of unpayable debt that he'd been carrying was now written off, he surely would have been the happiest and the most relieved person in the world of that time. Now, you see, this parable, this story, gives us a very vivid and striking picture, doesn't it, of the immense mercy and forgiveness of God, who cancels all the sins of those who come to him in repentance and faith, seeking his mercy and forgiveness. Remember those words I read at the start of the service from Psalm 130, verses 1 to 4? Maybe we can relate to them personally, times when we've been down in the depths in our lives. And the writer says, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice and listen to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness." But with you there is forgiveness. Isn't that a most wonderful truth and a life-changing discovery which so many of us here this morning have made as we've truly repented of our sins and put our faith in God's Savior Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior and Lord? With you, O Lord, there is forgiveness. To know that when we're down in the depths and we're reaching out to God, and to be able to say that humbly with thankfulness in our hearts, rejoicing, with you, Lord, there is forgiveness. Isn't that great when you think you've messed up in a day? And how many days we've messed? Probably every day we mess up in something, don't we? And we come earnestly praying for forgiveness and to know, with you, Lord, there is forgiveness. And friends, if there's anyone here hasn't yet discovered the liberating reality of God's forgiveness, I entreat you to open up your heart in repentance and faith in God, to God and to Jesus as Savior and Lord, and you'll discover this. It's one of the most liberating, if not the most liberating things there is, to discover, to know in your life, with you, Lord, there is forgiveness. But do we always remember the immensity of mercy and love in God's part to make that forgiveness possible, to make it a life-changing reality in your life and mine? For it involved as we know, such an infinitely costly sacrifice on God's part as he gave up his only beloved son, Jesus, to die on the cross as he bore the punishment of our sins. But what an incredible gift God's forgiveness is. Maybe we take it too lightly. Maybe we take it for granted sometimes. But what an incredible gift God's forgiveness is. Wiping clean the slate in which is recorded all our sins and failings, and wiped clean. Lifting the crushing burden of guilt and shame from our shoulders. Bringing a new beginning, a fresh start for every day of our lives. Setting us free from the crippling regrets of our past. Isn't it wonderful? Each day, a new start. Every morning you get up, new mercies I see every single day of life. And all the mess-ups forgotten and forgiven. Tremendous. How amazing is the love of God in extending to each and every one of us such great mercy and forgiveness. So we see in the parable, it speaks of forgiveness being without limit. The forgiveness that we receive from God. And it also sadly, tragically speaks of the possibility of forgiveness being withheld from others. It seems incredible, doesn't it, in the second half of this parable, this story that Jesus told, to hear of how the servant who'd been forgiven such a massive, unpayable debt went on to treat one of his fellow servants who owed him such a tiny sum by comparison, 100 denarii, a few pounds in today's money. And yet when the servant who'd been forgiven by the king found this fellow servant, he grabbed him and began to choke him, saying, "Pay back what you owe me." Well, this fellow servant, as the first servant had done, exactly the same, got down on his knees and begged the first servant, "Be patient with me and I will pay you back." But now the first servant who'd so recently had his great, huge debt cancelled by the king refused to hear his fellow servant's cry for mercy, and he had him thrown into prison until he could pay back the debt he owed. Again, it's solemnly a striking picture of how those who have cried to God for mercy and forgiveness and have received great mercy and forgiveness of their sins from God can sometimes be so unforgiving and lacking in mercy toward other people. Does it matter if we fail to extend to others the forgiveness that we ourselves have received from God? Well, this parable is saying it matters incredibly. After all, in the Lord's Prayer, we regularly pray, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." If those words that we pray in the Lord's Prayer, if they're not lived out in our lives such that we withhold forgiveness from other people, then the forgiveness that we request from God will be cancelled. It's that serious. Indeed, right after teaching his disciples the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said to them, you can read this in Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 14, "For if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins." And of course, we see that solemn fact being brought out in the parable of the unmerciful servant. For when the first servant, who'd had his massive debt cancelled by the king, refused to cancel the tiny debt of his fellow servant, had him thrown into prison, all the other servants were so upset they reported back to the king what had happened. And the king called them in and said to him, "You wicked servant, I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" And we're told that the king in the story sent his unforgiving servant to jail to be punished until he could pay back the whole amount. And just to make sure that those who were listening to the parable got the point, Jesus, after telling the story, said, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Do you see what a serious thing, friends, it is to receive, wonderfully receive such great mercy and forgiveness from God, and then to refuse to be merciful and forgiving to other people? I wonder, is there anyone here this morning doing that? Is there anyone here this morning who is nurturing bitterness and resentment against some other person for whatever reason? Is there anyone here this morning who's been saying to yourself, I'll never forgive that person? Jesus is warning us here that that is a very wrong and dangerous attitude to take. And if we continue to harbor an unforgiving spirit in our hearts, the mercy and forgiveness that we look to from God, which we've received from God, will be withheld from us with severe consequences for us. As we said earlier, it may be that someone from whom we're estranged may refuse any attempt we make to be reconciled. But even very sadly, if that's the case, let's make sure that none of us hold back from seeking to be reconciled, from taking the initiatives to do all we can so that on our part there is that openness, that forgiving attitude, seeking to be reconciled with those with whom we may have fallen out, and praying for a spirit of continual forgiveness to reign in our hearts. And certainly within a fellowship of professing Christians, we can see it would be such a serious offense to God to bear grudges and withhold forgiveness from one another. We who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, we who have known that wonderful truth, with you, O Lord, there is forgiveness. How awful it would be in a Christian fellowship if we withheld forgiveness from one another. Often, you know, it's the case that those who bear grudges against others are totally lacking in personal self-awareness and humility, blind to their own faults. Like when Jesus spoke about those who criticize and can see the plank, you know, somebody else, they want to pick out the speck from someone's eye, they fail to see the plank in their own eye. We can all be a bit like that at times, can't we? And yet, when we become more aware of our own serious shortcomings and our own great need of God's mercy and forgiveness, we will inevitably become more gentle and more forgiving towards others. So there we have the story and some of the lessons we have. The main lessons: forgiveness that should be without limit, pointing to the forgiveness that we receive from God, but warning against us against withholding forgiveness from others. Forgiveness, it's such a priceless gift to God, to us from God. And as we rejoice in the day-to-day difference God's love, mercy, and forgiveness make to our lives, let's be sure to treat other people with similar love, mercy, and forgiveness. Let me just close by reading a devotional reading of Frank Topping's based on this passage, entitled 70 times 7. Then Peter said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? As many as 7 times. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. And Frank Topping says, Lord, you have forgiven me so often. Teach me to forgive. It's somehow easier to judge than to forgive, to point the finger, to shake the head, even when I know that I look down on others from the height of my own folly, from a judgment seat insecurely perched on the self-made mountain of my own mistakes. For the sins I condemn the most are those that echo mine. Lord, teach me to forgive, to recognize myself in the human frailty of others. I need forgiveness. Every hour of every day, forgiveness for my thoughts, forgiveness for my words, forgiveness for my deeds. Lord, through your love, I am forgiven. Through your grace, may I be forgiving. May God add his blessing to the preaching of his word this morning.